All right.
When I was back there behind the congas, God gave me something that wasn't in this message. And it was right before he had gotten up and spoken about snip, snip. You can't plan this stuff. I had this pulled up and God was like, you need to talk about this. And it says, so Hannah arose after they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the tabernacle of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. And it happened as she continued praying before the Lord that Eli watched her mouth. Now Hannah spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Have you been there? Even this week, have you been there? Therefore, Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, how long will you be drunk? For a long time. Put your wine away from you. These are not drunk as you suppose. Ah. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I'm a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor intoxicating drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant a wicked woman, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief I have spoken until now. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel will grant your petition, which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to the house at Ramah. Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So it came to pass in the process of time that Hannah conceived and bore a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I've asked for him from the Lord. The atmosphere is changing now. Some of you have asked and asked and asked and wept and wept and wept, and God has collected every tear in his bottles. And it is the season and it is the time for your tears to be poured back into this earth. And it's time for your season to change. It's time for your atmosphere to change. It's time for the thing that you've asked for over and over and over and over again. He saw you kneeling. Saw you weeping, saw you crying out, saw you all alone. He saw your fears, he saw your anxieties, he saw your depression, he saw your sorrow. He saw every second of it. And he says, this is the season, now is the time for those things that you have asked for to come to pass. There's some things that you've asked for that in your mind, you think there is no way this is going to happen. Today is the day. This is the season for the miraculous. This is the season for the sign. This is the season for the wonder. And I pray right now over every one of you, whatever that thing that you've asked for, we bind the hand of the enemy who's told you that it is not going to happen, because he's a liar and he's a thief and he comes to seek, kill, and destroy you. But we have one that's greater than the enemy. So we pray a release of your anointing in this house right now for dreams and visions and things that you've asked for years and years and years. This is the day where it begins. This is the day where it happens. This is the day. This is the time. Now, 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 now. In this atmosphere, now, now, now. The Spirit of the Lord is moving now, now, now. The enemy can't stop what God is doing. He's going to try and he's going to try and he's going to try, but he is not going to stop what God is doing, and he is in extreme panic right now. And we've got a people of God that has raised up as an army, and we are marching forward, and we are not intimidated. We are not afraid, because we come in his name.
Yeah.
I don't come in my name. I come in the warrior's name, and we've come to war. War has been unleashed in this world. War has been unleashed on the body of Christ. But we come as the army of God. And again, like I said last, just like David came up to Goliath and said, who are you to come and defy the armies of God? Who are you, you uncircumcised Philistine? You have no right to this territory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Listen. You all, we are going to live out the scriptures that says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. He has seen you fasting. He has seen you praying. And he said, I'm going to move according to what you've done. I'm going to meet you in that place because you brought a sacrifice to me, and it was a sweet smelling aroma. And I smelled it. And I said, it is good.
Yeah, it's good.
Oh, boy.
All right.
Listen, there's coming a day, guys, where we're not going to be looking at our watches and wondering when 12 o'clock's coming. Listen to me. And you're free to leave it. You're going to be free to leave all the time at noon. But there, God is moving, and he's doing something in the earth, and you're not going to want to leave. All this fleshly stuff that has tied you down, that has bound you, that has gripped you, that has been your stumbling block, is being demolished in the presence of Jesus. There is a table set before you. There's a feast set before you. And it's got everything on it that you need, and it comes straight from him. There's nothing in this world that you need more than what's on that table. This message is called Catalyst. And I was in my house the other day, and I got the word catalytic converter, which I don't know anything about cars, and I wasn't raised fixing cars, but I knew a Cadillac converter had something to do with a car. So I looked it up, and this is what it said. A Cadillac converter, most commonly used in cars, is an exhaust emission control device that converts toxic gas and pollutants and exhaust gas from an internal combustion engine into less toxic gas. And I immediately just thought about toxic environments. And you know, we've been called, as Shane said, those signs that have been like, do not enter. No, we're called to go into those toxic environments and change them by his word, by his anointing. Toxic environments. We're called into the dark places to light them up. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world, and a city is set on a hill cannot be hidden. God is raising up the body of Christ, raising up his body to do signs and wonders in this earth. We're called into the dark places to light them up. And then I looked up the word catalyst. Catalyst is a substance that causes a chemical reaction without itself being affected. Taking his anointing, taking his presence, taking his light into environments where we are not affected. We are the ones changing the environment.
Yeah.
No matter what may come. Warriors raised up by Jesus. He's coming back on this crazy white horse on his side. Lord of lords and King of kings. We talk about this idea. He came first as a lamb, and now he's coming as a lion.
Yeah.
And don't be dumbfounded or confounded when you sense that lion is raising up in you. The church in the past has been a lamb, but the church is turning into a lion. We're coming to the conclusion that there is nothing else that satisfies. There is nothing else. And a lot of you have begun to recognize this and see this through prayer and fasting. You wonder why God launched that decree before the beginning of the year and said, start to pray and fast. Because some of our flesh nature looked like Goliath. And then now it looks like Pee Wee Herman. For such a time as this. Catalyst. So with all that being said, my mind immediately went to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And just to go over the story real quick, and please don't fall asleep. But I think it's important to understand that what's happened before they actually come on the scene. The story begins in Judah. It's around 600 years before Jesus is born. At this point, Jerusalem's history, Jehoiakim is named king at 25 years of age. I don't know what all you were doing when you were 25, but if I was going to be made king at 25, my province is in big, 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 big trouble. Big trouble. So they name him king, 25 years. He reigned 11 years. In 2 Kings 23:37, it says, he did evil in the sight of the Lord according to all his fathers had done. The iniquity moved from generation to generation to generation to generation, and it snowballed, and it got worse and worse and worse, and now here is Jehoiakim. He is described as a godless tyrant who committed atrocious sins and crimes. He lived in incestuous relationships with his mom, with his daughter-in-laws, his stepmother, and he continually murdered men whose wives he had then violated and whose property he seized. This dude was evil. Jehoiakim finally dies, and this new king comes on the scene, Jehoiachin, his son. At this time, Nebuchadnezzar, a great conqueror of the nations, ends up coming from Babylon with his army of Chaldean soldiers and overtakes the city of Jerusalem and makes Jehoiachin promise to submit to him as his master. And when he went back to his own land, he took with him all the gold and silver that he could find in the temple. And he carried away all the captains, all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and smiths. None remained except the poorest in the land. He basically took what he deemed as the best people. He literally went in and routed Jerusalem and took everything and left the poorest of the poor. So imagine yourself in that time in Jerusalem where you have been raised in the things of God. You've been raised in the teachings of God. And then all of a sudden this king comes on the scene because of the error and the sin of the leadership and completely takes everything that you thought you knew and everything that you thought you had. In a second, he took it all. The king ransacked Jerusalem. These captives then were brought to the land of Chaldea, where King Nebuchadnezzar gives orders to the princes who had charge of the palace to choose among these captives some young men who were of noble rank and beautiful in their looks and also quick and bright in their minds, young men who would be able to learn readily. These young men were to be placed under the care of wise men who should teach them all that they knew and fit them to stand before the king so that they might be in his helpers to carry out his orders. And the king wished them to be wise so that they might give him advice in ruling his people. Among the young men chosen were four Jews, men who had been brought from Judah. By order of the king, the names of these men were changed. One of them, Daniel. His name was changed to Belshazzar. Belshazzar. The other three young men were Shadrach, which was changed from Hananiah, Yah's Gracious, Meshach, which was Mishael, who is with God is, and Abednego, Azariah, Yah's Helpful. They were taught in the knowledge of the Chaldeans, and after 3 years of training, they were taken into the king's palace. No, they didn't just come in and ransack and take everything that they had and took them. He changed their name.
Yeah.
Imagine coming in as Gary. He says, your name is not Gary anymore. You know how many times the enemy wants to change your name? And God says, you're a warrior. And the enemy comes, no, you're a wimp. No, I'm not. That's not what God called me.
Right.
He called me a child of the king first and foremost. And whatever the enemy's trying to call you or make you to be is a lie. Because you're first and foremost a child of this king. The devil did not birth anybody. Every spirit came from God into this world. So these four, King Nebuchadnezzar was pleased with them more than any of the others who stood before him. Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel, they were his boys. He recognized their intelligence. He recognized they stood far above everybody else in knowledge. He found these wise men to be faithful in the work given them and able to rule over many under them. And these four men came to the highest places in the kingdom of the Chaldeans. You can't keep us down. Even in the midst of Babylon, even in the midst of the most wicked society of that day, they rose to the top. And Nebuchadnezzar, being evil to the core, promotes them. God has the heart of kings in his hands, and he will turn that river wherever he wants to turn it. Because he's God. And then we find ourselves in this story, and it's in Daniel 3, and starts in verse 1. It's interesting to hear the history, you know? So Nebuchadnezzar, remember, the lust of the flesh is never satisfied, never. It is never enough. It always wants more and wants more and wants more. It does not settle for the things of God. It wants something else. And I can take you right back to the Garden of Eden, where God put them in a place and said, everything you have right now, right here, it will completely satisfy you. And that snake came in. He said, did God really say all that stuff? Did God really say that? And we know the end of that. There was a fall, but it's never satisfied. It's never enough. So not only was he an evil king, and he had everything at his disposal, everything that he could ever want in the natural, anything was at his fingertips. He just clicked his finger and he could have anything that he wanted, but it was not enough. This king decides, I want to make an image of myself. I want to make a statue of me. Isn't that the enemy's plan? Isn't that the enemy's plan to come in your life and say, you need to make a statue and pay homage to you? Mm. And the scripture comes along and says, those that lose their life for my sake are going to find it. And those who try to gain and find their life wind up losing it. So he makes this statue. It's almost comical. It is, but it isn't. This thing is 90 feet tall by 9 feet. If you've ever been to Kent State, the tallest building at Kent State University up at the main campus is the library. It's 11 stories. If you're ever around that area or around a building, a building that's 50 stories, just put your eyes up to the ninth story and picture how big this thing was. So this isn't a little thing on a stand. 90 feet by 9 feet. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to gather together all the satraps, all the administrators, all the governors, all the counselors, all the treasurers, all the judges, all the magistrates, all the officials of the provinces to come to dedicate the dedication of the image which he had set up. So not only does he make a statue of himself in this place, now he wants a dedication ceremony. The statue wasn't enough. Now he wants something else. So they're all there together. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. So I want you to picture tens of thousands of people have gathered in this place. And here's the statue, and this is what everybody's doing. They're staring at the statue. They're staring at the image. Then this herald cries out aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, all nations, all languages, that at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that the king has set up, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. So here's these tens of thousands of people standing in front of this statue, and there's this furnace over here, and they have to make a decision. Am I going to go with the symphony of the world? And listen, they're playing violins, and they're playing guitars, and they're playing drums, and they're playing all kinds of instruments. And guess what they do? They organize, and they all play them together, and they play them in the form of an orchestra. It's orchestrated by the enemy. I don't know if you ever watch clips of news stations that say the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. It's all scripted.
Yeah.
The whole thing is scripted. And I hope you have woken up to the fact that the devil has a script that he's trying to follow.
Right.
He gets frustrated when we come and tear it up. And we say, whatever plan that you have for me or my neighbors or my community or my kids or the people that are in the sphere of my influence is canceled. Some of y'all need to hear it. It's canceled.
Yeah.
It's a symphony. Whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the fire. So at that time when all the people heard the music of the horn, the flute, the harp, the lyre, and the symphony with all kinds of music, all the people, listen, all the people, remember we just named all these, tens of thousands of people, all the nations, nations and languages fell down and worshiped the gold image. Tens of thousands of people went like this. And they bowed to the world. Do you know where I'm going with this? We're coming to a day where we're going to be put in situations, and it seems like, oh, it's a year off, oh, it's 5 years. Guys, stuff is happening in an increased rapid pace. There is a momentum that is going on right now. Talks of a third world war, talks of a new age, a new order. And I know presidents have been talking about this and talking about this and talking about, but boy, does it seem like the season's ripe for this Antichrist to come onto the scene when everything is in disarray and nobody knows what to do and nobody knows what leader to turn to and nobody knows. And this person comes on the scene and says, I have the answers. History repeats itself. And this Antichrist is going to set himself up. As God, I know some of you think I'm crazy. But this is biblical prophecy, and it is unfolding right in front of our eyes. And it's almost, I said this last time, it's almost like we are watching an end times movie, and we're in it.
Right.
Hey, listen. It's funny because the enemy does it because he wants us to get sorrowful and depressed. And die. Little does he know.
Yeah.
Little does he know. He only knows one thing, and that is to steal, kill, and destroy. But those attacks that come and come and come, and the people of God take it with the proper attitude, everything that he is trying to do works out for our good.
Right.
So when you see these things happening, know that your redemption draws nigh. We are living in these times. Many of us have gotten serious about this walk. And that's why you find yourself sometimes in travail and you find yourself in situations where it just seems like, no, God brings you into those situations so that he can part everything and tell you once again, you thought you couldn't do it and you thought that you couldn't make it, but I'm God. He says, I'm God. And if I can come out of the boat, call you out of the boat, and you can walk on water, and I can come down off the mountains, and I can walk on water, and if I can tell the seas to shut up, and they'll obey me, and if I can tell Moses to put up your hands, and the Red Sea will part, if I can do all of this, your situation is so small in my eyes. The enemy wants the situation to be so big, this huge mountain. But he says, that mountain in my presence Max melts like wax. That thing that you think is solid and made of granite and immovable, he says, well, my all-consuming fire, my hot presence comes into the place, the thing that was your stumbling block will melt, and you will literally look on the ground and see it melted. Jesus. And you will be dumbfounded, and you will think, why did I worry so long? And he comes to you and he says, didn't I tell you not to worry? It's crazy how he says that. And we're like, yeah, he tells us not to worry. Yeah, he tells us not to worry. And everything collapses in our life. And we start to worry. And he has to remind us once again, why are you worrying? We either operate in worry or we operate in faith. There's two routes to go. And I'm going to choose faith. Because faith is where joy is. But the symphony... But they all fell down and they worshiped the gold image which King Nebuchadnezzar had set up Therefore, at the time, certain Chaldeans came forward and accused the Jews. Not only has all this happened, not only have they been pulled out of the country, but you've got a bunch of jealous people that know they've been raised up to this prominent position and are watching them and are like, are they going to bow down? Why aren't they bowing down? They're telling on them. They came forward and accused the Jews. They spoke and said to the king, oh, king. You remember in grade school? Or in your house when your brother or sister would tell on you? Or this is a level of immaturity that supersedes. They accused them. They spoke and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, king, oh, king, live forever. Because we love you. Meanwhile, they're miserable. You, O king, have made a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in symphony with all kinds of music. Concerted effort. That whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into the midst of this burning fiery furnace. And I'm sure they're like, this burning fiery furnace. And everybody's like, there are certain Jews, now they're telling, there are certain Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not paid due regard to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and fury, gave the command to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So they brought these men before the king. Isn't it interesting when you decide to stand up, how the enemy also stands up and comes at you because you've stood up.
Right.
Whoever does not fall down. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, don't bow. They do not serve your gods or worship the gold image which you have set up. Then he was in rage and fury. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, is it true that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now if you are ready, at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good! Exclamation mark. He's fine with you doing his bidding. He's fine with you obeying his orders. And I'm talking about the enemy. But once you decide to go against the grain, the attack will come. Good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fire. And he asked this question. Who is this God? Who's going to deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you. You know why? Because they weren't going to give him lip service. They were about to give a demonstration. The church is moving out of lip service into demonstration in this season, in this hour. Who is this God who will deliver you from my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand. Doesn't it sound like David talking to Goliath? Mm-hmm. We have no need to answer. Our God we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O king. But if not, man, when I read this before, but when I read it this time, I was like, wow. You want to talk about a level of faith where we come just like Job, and Job says to God, you know, if you slay me, I'm not going to stop worshiping you. I'm not going to stop praying. The people that actually walk in this are the people that God has brought to a place of desperation. Do you hear me? Where the things of the world have faded. He comes to somebody that's surrendered. He knows you can hear it. There's times in our lives when we have a lot of trouble hearing God. This is a season where God's voice is going to be magnified. Not only in you, but it's coming from us speaking. We're not going to worship the gold image you set up. The Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury. And listen, the expression on his face changed towards Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As long as they were doing what he wanted them to do, he had a smile on his face. Once they said, "We're not standing. We're not putting up with this anymore. We're not going to bow down to this," his whole countenance changes towards them. And it says he's full of fury now. The enemy's completely fine when you're obeying him. When you decide to stand up to him, things change quickly. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times. Again, the hot furnace, I don't know if you all have wood burners or ever worked, obviously you've been in bonfires, you know how hot fire is. He says, the heat that it's at right now is not enough. I'm going to turn it up 7 times hotter. It's the tactic of the enemy to put pressure on you, to try to get you to bow down, to try to get you to walk away, to tell you it's not worth it, to tell you these people are crazy, to tell you there's something else in the world that's going to satisfy you. He keeps turning up the heat. And we're coming to find out that this unity that we're experiencing, we need each other. I need you, and you need me. We cannot battle alone. And God is blessing this work. Because just as he said, as brethren dwelling in unity, how awesome and how beautiful it is. It's like the oil that's coming down on Aaron's head, down onto his beard, down onto his garments, and soaking the bottom of his garments to the point that it's dripping. And he says, I'm going to bless that thing. And that's why we're seeing this outpouring.
Yeah.
I always find it interesting that the woman with the issue of blood fought through the crowd and pushed people to the left and to the right and went up. And you know what she did? She went after the edge of Jesus' garment. She knew there was power. He wasn't fragmented. He wasn't broken. He wasn't confused. He was whole. And they recognized that he was whole. And they went up to him and they were like, we want wholeness. God, we need wholeness. There's an area of my life that's lacking. There's an area of my life that needs fragmented. God, I need your wholeness. Not only in my life, I need it in the people around me. I need it in my family. I need it in my community. And in my church, I need wholeness. When you obey the voice of God, the temperature gets turned up. He commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their garments. I mean, they're hustled. They're being hustled. They go from saying, you know, we're not going to bow, and they're being hustled to the furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, he's panicked. Listen, there's some urgent stuff going on right now. He's panicked. He's urgent. He knows his time is short. He comes up to the dude with the legions of demons. Jesus stands in front of me and the demons cry out, why have you come to torment us before the time? The power of Jesus. The power of Jesus. To overcome every demonic spirit. That they have to bow. That they have to bow. Everything, the Bible says, everything in heaven and earth, all nations, all tongues, every creature is someday going to bow before this king. My question is, why not do it now? This is so good. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fire furnace. So they throw them in. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste, and he spoke, saying to these counselors, did we not cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king, but look, astonished, he answered, I see four.
Yeah.
I see four men loose. This attack that's come upon you has not come to destroy you. It's come to set you free.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we were all to be honest with ourselves, when our lives are going just so good, we have this tendency to start kind of drifting. But when a trial comes, when tribulation comes, when a hard time comes, we find ourselves back on our face. When the impossible comes, we come back to this place where we have to look for the one that does the impossible. And it is designed this way. He says, look, he answered, I see four loose. They're walking around in the midst of the fire. Listen, listen, listen. They are not bound. They are not restricted. They are walking in a furnace that has been heated seven times hotter than it was. And they're in there with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I know there's some talk amongst theologians whether this is an angel of God. Listen to me. This is my belief and what I've studied. That is the pre-incarnate Christ.
Yeah.
The Christ that has not come on the scene yet, but this is the incarnate Christ. Yeah. And he has come on the inside of that furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he's like, because you didn't bow, I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. I got you. Isn't it interesting that he's called an all-consuming fire? You wonder why he can just pop up in a furnace that's heated seven times? Because he is an all-consuming fire. And he will burn off everything that you're dealing with. He's an all-consuming fire. Isn't it crazy that he's an everlasting fountain, but he's an all-consuming fire? He's the A and the Z, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's got it all covered. And we need to hear it. Came from the midst of the fire. Wow, okay. Saw four men walking around, walking. They are not hurt. The devil wants to make you believe that this is the end for you, that this attack is you're going to come up and you're going to be less than what you were before. And it's not true. Dear Lord, okay. The king, it's interesting because some versions say he's like the son of the gods, which is interesting because Nebuchadnezzar, he's a polytheist. So they are worshiping hundreds of gods in Babylon. They have a god for everything you can think of. And they go to these individual gods to ask for individual things. But aren't you glad you live in a day where we serve one God?
Yeah.
And our God has all of that together at your fingertips. Because the curtain has been rent to the holiest of holies. And within that place, within heaven, everything that you need is there. Say the son of the gods. The king was a polytheist, and he sure wasn't going to say it's the son of God. Listen, these people understood what the Bible said, and he's not going to stand in front of his whole people at that point and say, I think Jesus is in there. No, he's like, I think it's one of our gods, guys. I think one of our gods has gone into the fire furnace, and now he's going to deliver them out. Always wanting to not give credit where credit's due. Then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out and come here. You know, I don't know how I skipped over this, but do you realize the people that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace fried? They threw them in, and it was so hot on the outside of the furnace that when he threw them out, whoosh, all gone. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. They came walking on out. They were thrown into this fire. They recognized that there's four in there. They're loose. They're walking. And they go, excuse me. You know, they're coming out of the front of the furnace. And they're like, Hey, you want to know who our God is? Yeah. Our God is the one that delivers us from the places we thought there was no end. Smell of how this just keeps going and going. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. The satraps, administrators, governors, the king's counselors gathered together, and they saw that these men, on whose bodies the fire had no power, the hair of their head was not singed, nor were their garments affected, and they didn't even smell like smoke. The enemy wants you to believe that you're going to come out of this season, out of this desperate place, out of this attack, and you're going to be lesser. But God says, no, I'm going to take what the enemy has put at you. I'm going to turn it for your good. And you're going to come out on the other side of it, and you're going to be a testimony. And you're going to say, this is my God. Again, we were prophesied over that we were going to be a church that says to the region, this is your God. Prophetic words coming true left and right. Prophetic words that have been spoken over you, spoken over this church, coming to pass right before our eyes. Bishop Garlington spoke over Jeff and talked about the idea that you were going to network with other churches. He even told Jeff, he said, you're going to come to a place where you take a look all around you and you go, it is good. And we've come into the season. But there's something else he said. He said, you're going to come into a season where you're going to see people get up out of wheelchairs. You're going to see people with blind eyes open. You're going to see people that are deaf and their ears are going to pop. You're going to see creative miracles. There's things that have been spoken over you and over this church. And this is the season where we're seeing it come to pass.
Yeah.
But it doesn't come without pressure. Wouldn't it be nice, ladies, that when you had that baby, it was like taking a walk in the park, but there was pressure, agony. It was hard, it was tough. Listen to me trying to explain this. I watched my wife go through it. I watched her with the IV going down the hallways. I know this is funny, but this is real. You wonder why you're coming to this place where you're like, it's because God is birthing something in you. Cassie and Elijah and Hannah are like, we were the cause of the pain. They didn't smell like smoke. I'm ending here. Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying, okay, come on. Here's this tyrant. I mean, we thought Jehoiakim was bad. We thought Jehoiakim was bad. Nebuchadnezzar is 10 times worse, 100 times worse. And he said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Isn't it crazy how God can take the king's heart and turn it like a river? I don't know what period of time this happened in. I don't know, hour, 45 minutes, half hour. But in that spirit, in that period, in that space, God has absolutely revolutionized and turned a man's mind to think something else. So here we go. So you may have loved ones that have mental disorders. You may have people that you've been praying for that are suffering ears. This is the season for people to be put back into their right minds.
Yeah.
You know what happened to the man with the legions of demons? It said he was chained. He was had hooks. He was latched. And it says all those broke off. And what does it say? He was put in his right mind. What are you dealing with? Are you dealing with depression? Are you dealing with anxiety? What are you dealing with? Are you dealing with an eating disorder? What are you dealing with? In the presence of this king, all those things have to bow. We have to put these words out into the atmosphere. We have to speak these words. We have to say these words. We're finishing. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel. He's still not. And delivered his servants who trusted in him, and they have frustrated the king's word. This dude just admits that he's wrong. Come on. They have frustrated the king. He's saying this. They frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their God. Therefore, I will make a decree that all people, nations, or languages will speak anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut into pieces, and their houses shall be made an ash heap. I know that's not funny, but what a turnaround. What a turnaround. Do you need a turnaround? Because there is no such God who can deliver like this. Now he admits it. Now he admits it. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Could it be that the thing that comes into your life that you think is going to kill you is actually your promotion? No wonder, you know, we're getting into, no wonder it says, think on things that are lovely. Think on things that are good report. Think on things that are true. Think on these things. Think. A renewed mind. But they were catalysts. They didn't change in the midst of the culture. They were actually promoted within the culture. And in effect, they made an impact on that culture. The word is Jesus is in the fire with you. Can y'all stand? And I really want, you know, the prayer people can come up, but I really sense, and I want us to be intentional about this. If you have got, listen to me, please. If you have got a need, whatever you need, please come up. If you don't come up, please go to somebody and just say, hey, I have a need. I have something that I need. Listen, in these atmospheres, do not walk away from this place with something that God has for you because you didn't stay and receive it. Please. Isaiah 43:2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. 1 Peter 1:6-7. Is in this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, and the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to be praise and honor and glory in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Psalm 62:12, you have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you have brought us out to rich fulfillment. We're almost done. Isaiah 48:10, behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. Malachi 3:2-3, but who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and launderer's soap. He's getting his bride ready. Do you wonder why it feels like your insides are being washed out? Do you wonder why he's coming into your life and refining and testing, and things are getting heated? Because he's coming back for a bride without spot or blemish. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Two more. 1 Corinthians 3, for no other foundation can anyone lay, which is Jesus Christ, not if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, and hay, straw. Each one's work will be clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. Could it be that God has sent his fire in your life to reveal some stuff?
Yeah.
I know he's done it with me. Stuff that I wanted to ignore, stuff that I was tucking away, stuff that I didn't want to deal with. It's amazing how the basic necessities of life are taken away, and God shines his light in there and says, hey, you remember that thing I keep reminding you about? It's time. Listen, people of God, it is time to put away the idols. Whatever thing that you have that you are worshiping outside of Christ that has been the center of your forehead, that is in here all the time, that you constantly think about, it's time to get rid of the thing. You're going to start hearing messages of repentance come forth, and it's not to make you frustrated and angry. It is literally to make you turn from one thing to this living God. All of that stuff, it literally says the earth is going to be burned up. So all the stuff that we put all the stock into a lot is not going to be there. The only thing that we're going to have left is what's left after this fire hits. And that is our character in him. These fruits that we have in him. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work. Lastly, and of the angels, he said, who makes his angels, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? No one is made a flame of fire unless he's been put in the fire. No one is made a flame of fire until you've been in the fire, until you've been lit up. So we raise our hands right now. We say, God, we pray for deliverance. Listen, I feel a shout coming on. Listen to me. Sometimes you have to raise your voice and you have to let the enemy know that you're for real and you're here. And on three, we're gonna say hallelujah. And I want to hear you on three. Are you ready to shout? Are you ready for something to break in this house? One, two, three. Yeah. Let it break. Let it break. In Jesus' name, let it break. That thing's gonna break. It's breaking. Come up for prayer, those that you want prayer, those of you who need prayer. And we seal this word in your name, Jesus, for you are the all-consuming fire, and you are a jealous God. I'm gonna say it again. He's jealous for you. You wonder why he's coming at you like this and getting up in your business? Because he's jealous for you. And everybody said, amen.